down in, it'll make people think it's warmer than here. I got to have fan on. Boy, I guess maybe it is warmer in here than I thought it was. Well, we thank the Lord that the heat zone in the auditorium and the heat zone in Fellowship Hall did work today. Boy, that old pump was screeching and grumbling last night when I came to turn on the heat. I didn't know. I took some time, and it has boiling caps and funnels where you can oil the motor and the bearings on both the ends of the electric motor as well as the water pump itself. I had oiled that earlier this fall, but it was screeching like a dry old I don't know what last night, and so I rolled up my sleeves and I got back in there behind that furnace and oiled her up again and tried to drown those fittings with oil. It was nice and quiet this morning, but when church was done, it was just a singing away in there, squeaking, squealing again. But praise the Lord, it was still warm when we came here tonight. And, we pray for John. I told you about that broken pump that, Lord willing, John is going to try to get that one replaced so that the rest of the building can have heat other than Fellowship Hall and the auditorium. That's the pump that is needed for everywhere else. That's why you have that cold greeting waiting you when you go to certain parts of the building today. But we are thankful for what we have. We do thank the Lord for His Word. And last Sunday evening, we took a few minutes and we talked about, as kind of a capstone, an ending of the study that John had for a good number of weeks on bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. And we talked about last Sunday evening, gave it the title, In Praise of God's Word, and last week was part one, and we'll try to finish it this evening. There are so many features about God's Word to encourage us, and we know that for the believer, we are always encouraged to, what? Get into the Word. Get into the Word. Is that a broken record with the old Christians, and they don't know anything else to tell the younger ones and the newer ones that are coming up through the ranks? Get into the Word. Spend time in the Word. You think there might be more of a reason to it than it's just for the old folks? You think there might be a reason why the pastor would have talked a few minutes ago about Bible reading schedules, and if you've never done it before, why not take the challenge of systematically reading through? You don't read hours a day. You read 1, 2, 3 chapters a day, and it's all divided up for you, and you just follow the schedule. You think there might be something behind that, why we are constantly encouraged in the direction of the Word? It's because of its importance to us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we, and ask Him to open our hearts. We do thank You, Father, for the chance to turn once again to perhaps just a very general thematic message as we think about some truths of Your Word. And we can't exhaust in a couple of evenings all that could be said about it, but I pray that enough might be brought forth, that our hearts would be encouraged, and drawn to even spend more time with you and your word. I pray that you would be glorified in what is said in these coming moments as our service continues and our purpose has been to bring glory to you tonight. In your name, amen. Remember, we pointed out last week, and I'll just give you the quick rundown of the references. We're not going to look at them, but in case you say, well, I would have liked to have had those references for my notes, we talked about what is so important about the Word. We gave you Romans 10:17. It's the source of faith. We gave you 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We are born again by the Word of God. We saw in James 1:18 that it is referred to as the word of truth. What is truth today? The word of God is truth. And there's a lot of people that are looking for truth. The sad thing of it is they look in the wrong places, don't they? We saw in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is dependable. You can count on God's word. We saw in Matthew 24:35, God's word is everlasting. It is eternal. We saw in Jeremiah 23:28-29, that God's word is powerful. And we added with that Hebrews 4:12. How is it that it's powerful? It's because it's living. It's alive. This is not a dead book. This is living. Oh, you say, oh, I'm afraid to touch it if it's living. The Word of God, it's living, it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. What we mean by that is that the Word of God, in life is given to it by the Spirit of God in the heart and life of the individual. And God's Holy Spirit takes the Word and works in the heart of the listener. And that's where the life. People look at this and they say, that old book has it'll do nothing for me. It means nothing to me. Someone tell you that, challenge them. Why don't you read it and see what it might do for you? Give God's word a chance. Why don't you read it? You say, I've read it before. It doesn't mean anything to it. Read it again. Pick it up again. God's word is living. Well, let's look at some other things this evening as we continue on in praise of God's word. We can turn, if you would, to John chapter 6, verse 63. We ran out of time and we weren't able to continue on in some of these. John 6, 63. It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or giveth life, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I remember as a young youth pastor just starting my ministry down the road here in Ypsilanti. I was hired as the youth pastor there at Forest Avenue Baptist, and the pastor that hired me as his youth pastor, I so admired his ability to teach and preach the Word of God. And as a young man being trained and learning, I remember especially on one particular occasion, Pastor Engel emphasized, and I used to think as I would sit and listen to him, oh man, boy, you know, if I could preach like that, if I could come up with things like that, that is so good. That is so powerful. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he was using this particular verse. You know, it's not the ability of the speaker that God blesses. It's not the words of man that carry the weight. It is as we depend upon the Holy Spirit and we use the Word of God. That is what changes people's lives. And I remember being impressed with that. Let me read that verse with you again. The Lord says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, not some powerful preacher. And there are famous, powerful preachers. And we know in history there have been famous names, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, just to mention a couple of these whose name and fame was worldwide. What was it that was being blessed? Their words, or the fact that they were just simply giving out the Word of God? It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. And as I sat and listened, I realized, you know, if ever my ministry is going to count anything for the Lord, it's not going to be of me. Because the flesh is going to profit nothing. It is going to be in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, using His Word. And the Lord said, the words that I'm speaking unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. So, as we think of what's so special about God's Word, it's life. God's Word is the Word of the Spirit, and they are life. Let's look to another reference. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And here we see Paul said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What's so special about God's Word? When it is given out in the Spirit of God, it is that which has the ability to work in us. And Paul, as he was writing to this church of Thessalonian believers, he said, I'm so thankful. I thank God that when we were with you and as you listened to us, you weren't impressed with how, oh, why isn't Paul a great preacher? Oh, well, just listen to those words. He said, you knew the thing that we were sharing with you wasn't Paul, the apostle's words. You knew that it was God's word. And because you received it as God's word, it could work in you. My words don't have the power to change anything, beloved. The only thing my words can do is cause trouble. I do a good job of that. But God's word, as God enables me to share His truth with you, then I can pray that God would use His word in your hearts and that you would allow the Spirit to use His word, not Jerry's word, but His word, because it has the power to do what? Effectually work in the heart and life of one who believes. I guess I would say that would be one of the greatest encouragements that I would know for a pastor, to invest his life in studying, preparing, standing for before people, giving out the Word of God, to realize that the Word that is going forth has the ability, through the Spirit of God, to effectually work in the hearts of those that listen and believe. That's what keeps a guy like me going. To know that what I share with you, when I am sharing with you God's truth, the Spirit of God can take that and, you know, only the Spirit of God knows how He's going to use the Word that goes forth to speak in your heart or my heart. And that is the beauty of the Word of God. Isn't it interesting that 10 people can be sitting listening to a message from the Word of God, and they can walk out and start talking about, what did you think of that? You know, how did the Lord speak to you? And it's always fascinating and interesting to see how the Lord spoke to this one over here, what they got out of the message. This one over here didn't, that wasn't what they were thinking about at all. Haven't you noticed that before? How that you can be sitting and listening to the same thing, but God's Word speaks to different ones, different ways in application as it applies to their hearts and lives. So, Paul, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, prays the Word of God because it has the ability to work in us. Here's another one. What's so special about God's Word? 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. Growth comes through the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2. Paul, or Peter, said, as newborn babes, desire or long for the sincere or genuine milk of the Word, that you might what? Grow by it. That's why, right here, is one of the reasons why you often hear an older Christian encouraging a newer Christian to get into the Word. Read the Word, spend time in the Word, make it a regular habit of your daily routine to spend time in the Word. Why? Because we can grow by the Word of God. Growth comes through God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 15 through 17. These are some familiar words. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. I've just simply referred to these verses as, what's so special about God's Word? It is beneficial. It is beneficial. Paul wrote to Timothy, and we've been looking at 2 Timothy on Wednesday nights. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are what? Able to make you wise unto salvation. There's an ability, there's a benefit of God's Word. through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed it. God gave it to the writers. And it is profitable for various things: doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely furnished unto all good works. There's a whole message worth of benefits in those three verses, but we're just simply giving you the reference and titling it the benefits, and you can look at those and review. God's word, it is good for so many things that its importance is pointed out in so many ways in this 2 Timothy 3:15-17 passage. Here's another one. Psalm 119. And it is the 105th verse. What's so beneficial about God's word? Why are we looking in praise of God's word? We discover in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We've talked about this before. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many times do we catch ourselves either saying it ourselves, thinking it, or we are talking with somebody and they make reference to the fact that they have questions in their minds? And what often comes out, I'm just in the dark and I don't know what. I don't know what to do. Where do you go when you're in the dark? Where do you turn when you need guidance? And you know you need to be doing something, but what ought you to be doing? The psalmist says, your word is, it's a lamp unto my feet. You know, I like flashlights. Dick Moore likes flashlights. I'm raising grandchildren to like flashlights. And I just saw Joanna and Matt each got a new little flashlight this evening. Can never have too many. Never. I had to buy a new one when I was in Oklahoma. What'd you expect, huh? Flashlights. Why do we need light? We need those lights so that we can see the way. And you know, it's not in man that lives. It's you know, the answers to life and what we ought to do with our life, that doesn't just come from instinct, beloved. Look at the world. Those who don't know the Lord, who don't have the Holy Spirit to guide them, look at the mess they're making with their lives as they're stumbling about in the darkness, trying to figure out what they're supposed to do with their lives. Do you know, as believers, God has said, I have direction for you. I will give you direction. Your word, why, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's like that little flashlight. You don't need to be able to see. You don't need to be able to see everything when you're walking through life, do we? If it's dark, all we need to know and to be able to see is what?
The next step.
Yeah, the next step. Here's one of my old hunting buddies, John and Jim. I think of all those times that we headed out to Jonathan's out there in the darkness. You're going out there in the dark. There might be a coyote. Who knows what's waiting for us out there to go hunt. But we would start out. We didn't have a great big halogen spotlight as we headed out. We would go out with a tiny little light, just enough to see the way so that you could find your way to where you wanted to get, if there was a tree you wanted to sit next to, or whatever it was. God's Word. Every one of us, there's times when we need direction in life. I know that. And where are we going to find that guidance? Would to God that we would turn to His Word. Lord, show me. Lord, show me. Direct me. Guide me through your Word. You say, well, is He going to say you should get in your car and go to Copper Springs? Not direction like that, but God is going to give peace. God is going to give assurance. He's going to give you that understanding that He is leading me. And we read in His Word and we ask Him, Lord, open doors, close doors. Show me the way, your Word. Lamp unto my feet, a light unto thy path. And as we're here in Psalm 119, look at one last Psalm reference, and that would be verse 130. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking about an example in Scripture where God's Word gave understanding. And I want to invite you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 9, and let's notice verses 1 and 2. Daniel chapter 9, the entrance of thy word giveth light and it giveth understanding. In Daniel chapter 9, we read these words. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign. Why do we have these names in place? Beloved, these are important dates, and you can search the secular history books and you can find the exact year. Of course, this is before Christ. When this is making reference to, for you see, history books have recorded King Darius and when he reigned and how many years before Christ. And so Daniel is writing this down. We can document exactly when this took place. And he said it was in the first year of this king's reign, I, Daniel, now get this, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. And Daniel said, in this particular year, I was reading the books. What books do you think he was reading? He was reading the scriptures. And he said, I understood as I was reading the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Well, let's turn to Jeremiah and see, I wonder what that was that Daniel read. Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12 could have been a portion that Daniel understood. Jeremiah 25, 11 and 12, and this whole land shall be a desolation. What land? The Holy Land, and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. There's that 70 again. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And then notice in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Look at verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, you who? Israel, and perform my good word toward you in causing you, Israel, to return to what? Your place. And Daniel was one of those who had been carried away captive by which nation? The Babylonian nation. And he is telling us here, as we put this together, in Daniel 9, 1 and 2, Daniel said, one day I was reading in the books and I realized as I read the prophecy of Jeremiah that this captivity is only going to last 70 years. And after, when 70 years are done, God is going to allow us as a nation to go back to our land. Do you know when that happened? You ever heard of the book of Ezra? You ever heard of the book of Nehemiah? You know the context? You know the timing of that? They were ones that were captive when the 70-year time frame was up. And Ezra went back to the promised land to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah went back with God's people to rebuild what? The city walls. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And it gives understanding to the simple. Oh, as I think of this, well, what do we have for us today? Just jot down 2 Timothy 3 and 4. We're not going to look at it. This know also that in the last days, what? Perilous times shall come. And it talks there in 2 Timothy 3. In 2 Timothy 4, the days are going to come. Well, they will not endure sound doctrine. They will turn away their ears from the truth, heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. Beloved, we are seeing so much around us. The entrance of thy word gives light. I'm not saying the Lord's going to come back tomorrow, but there is so much that we see that makes us understand his coming has got to be what? So close. So near. Where do we get that? God's word. Well, we don't have it in our new hymnals, but The old Greenwood had a song that we used to sing that I worded, it's like a garden, Lord. And I wish we had that one in our hymn books, but we don't. Let me just close with a word or two, a verse or two, from that particular song that we used to sing when we still had the old green books. Thy word is like a garden, Lord, with flowers bright and fair, and everyone who seeks may pluck a lovely cluster there. Thy word is like a deep, deep mine, and jewels rich and rare are hidden in its mighty depths for every searcher there. Thy word is like a starry host, a thousand rays of light are seen to guide the traveler and make his pathway bright. Thy word is like an armory where soldiers may repair and find for life's long battle day all needful weapons there. Oh, may I love thy precious word. May I explore the mine. May I its fragrant flowers gleam. May light upon me shine. Oh, may I find my armor there, thy word, my trusty sword. I'll learn to fight with every foe the battle of the Lord. Let's stand, shall we, and close in prayer. Hey, Steve, could you close our service, please, in prayer?